The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
That's some big news for the Houston Texans as this organization tries to remake itself. Sources say they have hired Nick Caserio, the former Patriots director of player personnel, longtime right-hand man for Bill Belichick and de facto general manager in New England for years. He is going to be the new Houston Texans GM, and obviously this is someone that the Texans brass, Jack Easterby, who of course works closely with Cal McNair, the owner. This is someone who's been in their sights for more than a year. Remember, the Texans tried to interview him the last time they thought about having a GM, and of course the Patriots blocked them following tampering charges. It was a big mess. Everyone went back to their own corners, and now Caserio ends up after an interview process that included several executives around the league for the Houston Texans. They settle on Caserio, a big-time coup for Houston, and certainly landing someone who is extremely, extremely respected around the NFL.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
A coup? Really? This guy? Hey, guess who's back? Let's have some fun today. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Diabolical.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, back in studio. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. Good to be back on the Twitch channel, guys. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. And it's a Wednesday where we play What Are the Odds? So when you call, text, tweet, Twitch, whatever you do, put odds on it. What an awesome day to be alive. I am so stoked to be back. This is like the greatest feeling ever. I'm not going to lie.
Well, welcome back, Freddie.
This is awesome. Yeah, it's funny because I get my test and it's negative. And then I went to the same place you did. And it was a little bit of a cluster bleep at first. But then once you got going, they do a really good job there and a really friendly staff.
Yeah.
First time I've had to do the nasal swab, though, that hurt.
Didn't bother me all that much.
Yeah, well, you don't have a giant nose.
It's true, but you would think that would hurt me more.
Yeah, you would, but...
Like, if they stick the whole Q-tip in, they're barely getting halfway into your nose, whereas mine, it was, like, back in my, like, touching the back of my head.
Well, it was, and then the lady brought me the test and said, you're negative, and I just fell in love with her right there and wanted to have her baby. I was so excited.
So what happened?
Nothing. I mean, I didn't say that because...
Oh, well, you know, that's probably...
That would be inappropriate, but I thought that, and, man, it just... such a relief because, you know, even though it didn't really hit me at all, and we were talking about this before the show, it's like that there's just this weight on you that you're afraid that you might take a turn for the worse at some point and that it could get really bad.
So it's more like a mental or emotional weight than the actual physical stuff.
Absolutely,
because I know some people the physical stuff is the worst. Every case is different.
Physically, I've felt pretty much fine since last Tuesday. I've had some allergies kick in, especially like yesterday and a little bit this morning, but nothing. But you're always worried that until you're negative, this thing could jump you. So it was just such a relief and to have all that off me. I'm like, ain't no Rona on me. Let's do it. I feel fantastic. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that I've, you know, gotten through this without it being really bad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have some friends who have it pretty bad right now. So, just to be able to, the house arrest thing was what was getting to me. Not being able to do anything. I mean, just coming to the office makes me feel normal, even if that's all I do all week. But I don't want to take a chance with anybody, obviously, because you know we've had a little bit of a spread around here, and I don't know how somebody else is going to react to it. They might get really sick. So, yeah. But it's good to be past it, and man, I feel like myself again, and I'm just ready to have a great show and rip the hell out of the Texans.
Why
tonight.
Rip them, Fred? They got their guy. They got him all along.
A coup. Ugh.
Yeah, if you haven't heard, if you've been under a rock, Nicholas Caserio is the GM of your Houston Texans. I guess there's some things that jump out to me, and I'll say this: I'm not saying this is a great hire. I don't think it is a great hire. I think it's a very, I mean, it's a status quo hire. I'll say that. But this is, there's some ways that you can look at it and go, okay, well, I guess I kind of understand why they would do it. It's easy to say, I mean, you've been trying to be the, you've been trying to be the Patriots. It makes it easy for you to keep rolling in that direction. It's an easy transition. I don't know if I'm not saying that's the right thing, but it does feel like there's some ways you can look at this and go, well, it makes sense because this is a direction the Texans have chosen. Now, I think you and I agree that the Texans have reached a point in their history where they need to change directions completely. They're not going to do that. And, you know, the people who are saying that he's a Belichick guy or whatever, like Belichick, we've talked about this ad nauseum this week. Belichick is the only Belichick guy. There's nobody else like him. There's nobody who does what he does or who can do what he can do. There's a reason why he's respected by everybody. There's a reason why every player basically that leaves New England has gone on and been worse wherever they went. There's a reason why every coach that has left New England has gone on and failed. Like, he's a special guy. And I don't think Nick Caserio is somehow going to be the exception to that rule. The most disappointing thing about it is this has Jack Easterby's fingerprints all over it. Yes. And that's the scariest part. That's the part that we were hoping there would be someone other than Nick Caserio, because then you could say, well, maybe they're taking some power away from Jack Easterby. Nick Caserio's coming in here fully knowing what Jack Easterby is, and he's apparently comfortable with it. That scares me a little.
Here's what, and I wrote an article on it today for Sports Map, and so if you've already read the article, then you've heard the analogy. This morning, my dog, I take her out, she eats grass, she pukes because she ate grass, right? Well, what do dogs do when they puke? They'll eat the puke again, right? Ugh. And it's dumb, because what made you sick in the first place?
Yeah.
Whatever it was, you just puked. That's the Texans. They're eating their own puke because they're doing the same damn thing. And, you know, and Easterby makes this. I mean, that's the guy making the decisions. That's the guy who traded DeAndre Hopkins. That's your own puke, guys. And so here are the Texans walking around covered in their own puke, eating it again. What do you think's going to happen? You think they're going to get sick again? I do.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it's funny how it took a dog throwing up for me to see what the Texans are, but that's what it was. And the other thing I kind of mentioned in the article is I can picture Easterby and Caserio strolling arm in arm through NRG, staring lovingly into each other's eyes, walking their poodles. That's what we've got as a couple here.
Well, it's really weird too. I think the other thing that the other thing that's really odd is the Texans are the only team who's not asked to interview Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah. That's just
like
dumb.
They're somehow like, well, it's dumb on so many levels.
But you know what? It just means that it's a sham, just like the whole GM search was. You went through all these other guys, and your fairy corn, whatever the hell those guys are, didn't even give you this guy, and that's what you did. You had your mind made up. This is the guy they wanted all along. So guess what? The mind's made up on the coach, too. And if they bring in Josh McDaniels, which I would be stunned if, because that name's already starting to pop up. If they bring that guy in, then bleep this franchise, man.
Well, I will say this. The one positive that comes from this is Brian Daboll has the same agent as Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby. Like, it's all a big connection.
Well, that's another big problem to me. If you're just hiring guys, and we'll get to Brian Daboll in a second, because I don't necessarily hate that, but...
But the reasoning behind it?
The reasoning behind it's stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, this agent is who's running your entire organization right now? Well done.
And the Eric Bieniemy thing is so odd, because I mean, we can all, I think it's a consensus that Eric Bieniemy is kind of the hottest name, and it was really since last year he was the hottest name.
Yeah.
So why you wouldn't even want to sit down in a room with him or on a Zoom call or whatever they do these days, why you wouldn't do that is just beyond me, especially given the fact that you have to interview at least one black head coaching candidate.
Well, they've already interviewed Caldwell and Marvin Lewis.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could have not done those guys. You know, you're not going to hire guys that, why would you, I mean, imagine if they hired Caldwell or Lewis, what we would be saying. They're out of their freaking minds. Like, either one of those hires we would look at as a complete and utter disaster, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
So why not interview, I don't know, if you've got to interview a black guy, why not interview the hottest coaching candidate in the NFL? And you tick two boxes there. Maybe he's a great fit for your organization. Maybe you love him. Also, well, did that Rooney Rule thing, so I don't have to waste time pretending like Marvin Lewis is a viable head coaching option for us.
Well, and somebody said, well, maybe they just wanted to make sure they got the GM first before they requested it. And it's like, wait a minute, though. Look at the guys you've already interviewed. Matt Eberflus, you interviewed those two guys.
Why were you still Joe Brady.
Yep. You didn't have a GM yet, so that doesn't make any sense. So my
not buying it. Not passing the smell test, Fred.
No.
That's a COVID joke.
No, well, I can't smell anything. So, but yeah, I don't understand why. I just don't see any reason why you wouldn't interview the guy, especially when your own quarterback has said this is the guy I want. Wouldn't you at least humor him?
Yeah, it seems the way to go.
Stick with the dog comment. Throw him a bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you think his tweet was about last night?
Deshaun's.
Yeah. Much debated, of course.
It is much debated, and I don't think we'll ever know. So it may be silly for me to even guess. I think that he's probably frustrated with the same things that we're frustrated with.
Yeah.
I don't think Deshaun would come out and burn Jack Easterby while he's there.
Well, especially since he's the guy, apparently, who got pissed off at the fan with the sign.
Yeah.
And told him to take it down, so he obviously...
But even if that's the case, even if you are a backer of his, at some point it gets old.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, man, it'd be nice if we could focus on football here or whatever. I don't know how I feel. I don't know what I think of what he meant by that. I can't imagine it's a good thing because more of the same at this point coming out of his mouth can't be a good thing, right?
No. On the other hand, you just signed a contract, so.
It doesn't matter what he thinks, yeah. Right?
Yeah, but... We're going to take a quick break. We'll stay on this. And if you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I don't get it. I mean, I just don't see how they think this is the right move. And it's just, it's there's no transparency here. You interviewed Trent Kirchner 4 hours ago, allegedly. That was when it was set out on their Twitter account and all that. Yet this has been reported that this was a done deal as of this morning. So why are you doing all these interviews for show if your mind was made up probably weeks ago that this was your guy, probably dating back to when Bill O'Brien was here?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. I mean, it's obvious though, right? If this is the hire you made and that quickly, then the rest of it was just a dog and pony show. I hate to keep going back to the dog, but it's a dog and pony show. A dog with vomit all over it. this organization's a joke. There's no way around it. And yeah. The hope that you had when they got rid of O'Brien, they've just quietly eroded that. Now, there still may be a good coach hire. And if Brian Daboll's a guy, he might be the right guy. But, man, you're going down a path that has worked one time. Brian Flores is the only guy who's had any real success, and it's not even that. I mean, it's one season where he just missed the playoffs.
Right.
But, I mean, you watch that team and what he sent from the middle of last season on, they've gotten better and better.
Sure.
And I think he's got a big up arrow by his name. But even that, that's two seasons. Who else? It just doesn't work, man. It doesn't work. And I think that, to me, hey, Nick Caserio may turn out to be a good GM. I don't know. We really don't know about any of those guys. Going down the same path, going down a path where your mind was already made up, and why not just bring O'Brien back as head coach if this is what you're going to do? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like they've got their mind made up on head coach, too, and they're not going to waste Bienemy's time. And so whoever it is, yeah. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I really do, AJ, because I don't want this team to keep.
Well, don't they deserve it, Fred?
No, they don't.
Oh, no.
No, because you know, it's like, okay, you got rid of O'Brien. Now we've got some hope. Fan base has some hope. And then you do this and you're like, boy, they just are determined not to make real change. Not to do any of the things that I've ever suggested, which, okay, fine. Don't listen to me. I mean, what do I know? But to do this, I mean, it's just a bleep you to your fans. And, you know, the way I ended the article today, it's like, but you know what? No matter how bad they are, no matter how stupid they are, we love our dogs. And the fans are going to keep loving these dogs, no matter how stupid they are.
Yeah.
You know, my dog acts stupid, I still love the dog. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, yes, I don't know. There's, and I've been reluctant to really rip into Cal because I don't know Cal. But all I can judge is what's happened since he's taken over ownership. You gave that idiot more power. You signed off on the DeAndre Hopkins trade, and so did Jesus Easterby.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I can judge you for that. That's what we have to go on. That and Easterby was part of these ridiculous contracts that they gave to a couple of these guys. So, you know, hopefully, I mean, I don't know if, you know, if Caserio can't come in and do the same thing. You just can't. But having those two guys in there together now, it just tells me they don't know what the hell they're doing. They really don't. And if they hired, I like Daboll, I do, but it'll just feel like more of the same. And, yeah, if they hire Josh McDaniels, I am banning all Texans talk from the show. Because that is just...
That'd be terrible.
You asked me the other day, whoever comes next, they can't be worse, right? And then O'Brien. And I said one name, Josh McDaniels. I mean, let's go get a guy who failed as a head coach, went back to be coddled by his boy Belichick, and nurse off of him again. And suddenly he's going to be a good coach. Get the hell out of here.
Right.
That is just, I mean, it's another Bill O'Brien. So, 713-780. Martin says chaos is a ladder. Want to try a call here?
Yeah, let's talk to James.
Let's let the people talk. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, sports guys?
Sports to you, man.
Hey, man, you know, here's the deal. I'm hearing this. I heard about this this GM hire this morning. Or the heavy rumors of it, and I'm sitting here listening to the head coach deal, and you know, here's my fear. Are they going to try, as y'all just said, are they going to try to get a guy that's going to keep trying to jam 10-yard and in the style offenses all the way down the field and try to turn Deshaun Watson into something that he's not? Or are they going to let him, or are they going to find somebody who they can draft to help him down the field? Let him have the arm that he has. Let him have use the leg that he has. Is that not the reason why it does not work anywhere else? These guys are trying to turn everybody else into a Tom Brady. You have a Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I'll say this about Deshaun. I don't know that Deshaun is ever going to be the running threat that he was early in his career. I kind of think that's out the window. I don't think he is any longer I think he's a good scrambler now, but I don't think he's going to be a guy who like breaks off big runs. That's just not that. And I don't think the Texans, and that's one thing I think the Texans are smart not to do, because that's a dude who, he is this franchise. You've got to protect him at all costs. And like he's got a skill set that's different from Lamar Jackson's. You know, Lamar Jackson is a track star. He can break these runs that nobody else can. Deshaun Watson can get you some yards, but like they have to really develop. I think they've done the right thing with him and developed him as a passer. That said, they need to get some real pieces around him, because right now having David Johnson behind you and, you know, Kiki Kuti, I mean, that's nonsense. But I don't think they're going to find a quarterback or a coach who's going to change what Deshaun Watson has turned into, because I think what Deshaun Watson's turned into is exactly what the Texans want him to be.
Well, I'll dispute that a little bit. I mean, he had more rushing yards this year than last year.
Okay, how many rushing yards did he have?
He had 444, which is about, he's had 413 last year, 551 in 2018 was his career high. I think that's what he's going to be. I think that first year when they were going nuts, they were using him a lot more as a running back, and then he blew out his knee.
And I think that things changed at that point.
And I because we don't really know, because that was a 6-game sample size. True. We have no idea where they were going to go with that. But, I mean, I'm okay with the way they have a couple of design runs for him a game. But, no, he's not Cam Newton. He's not Lamar Jackson. They don't use him that way, and they shouldn't. I mean, he's a guy who is a passing quarterback. And, I mean, hell, he led the league in yards. So, but I do think he's still a running threat. It's like Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes can still run. The Chiefs are smart not to do it until the playoffs. And if the Texans had made the playoffs, then, you know, I think he'd run more.
Yeah.
Because that is a weapon you can use. But during the regular season, you don't want to do that. So, I know you don't like to hire, but can you guys make a case for the good of Caserio just from a hope standpoint? I don't know. I don't know what kind of...
I don't think anybody knows. No. Because what's his job been in New England?
Would we have known, though, if they had hired the guy from Seattle, or would we have known about him either?
And that's the thing about GMs. You don't really know. You only know a GM when he's becoming a thorn in your side, like Bill O'Brien, the GM, did.
Yeah.
Because really, and do you remember when Rick Smith, when Kubiak was fired, and it became this was a Rick Smith decision versus this was a, like, I think teams keep it vague purposely, because they don't want, like, they want whoever gets fired to have to fall on the sword. And in this case, basically, what the Texans want us to believe is all the problems went out the door when Bill O'Brien did.
Yeah, which is not the case.
It's not the case.
Because you kept a guy, and I will not forgive this, you kept a guy who signed off on the DeAndre Hopkins trade. If that guy had any sense whatsoever, that trade never happens. Because somebody goes into Cal McNair and says, listen, we can't do this. If we're going to trade the guy, we got to get a number one at least. And if you'd done that, knowing you were going to pay Tunsil, knowing you were going to pay Watson, okay, don't like it, but I'll accept it. But to just take the garbage back that they did, it's unforgivable. And for anybody to think that was a good trade, you don't know what you're talking about. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Mike has a bright side of Caserio. So hang on, Mike, because I'd like to hear the bright side.
We wants to know.
Yeah, he's Mr. Brightside. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. The whistle, underrated in rock and roll, when used that, well.
It's like guitars, drums, whistle.
Yeah. Just a hint, you know, they just drop it in.
Slide whistle.
I don't know about that. A definite no is chainsaws.
Okay.
I mean Van Halen kind of pulled it off, but then like Jackal did it and it was horrible. But hey, Mike has a bright side of Nick Caserio. I want to hear it, man. I'm open to this. What do we got, Mike?
Hey, you know, I'll talk more about the GM hire for the Texans. You know, I'm with y'all. You know, I really don't agree with it. But, I mean, if this guy can eat up, you know, some of the dead money that seem to be, you know, fully loaded on this roster and can, you know, surround Deshaun Watson with some cheap, you know, some cheap talent. I mean, I'm game to watch. I mean, I don't really want him to waste more seasons that Watson has, but I mean, we can't really do nothing but just watch and see.
Well, I mean, but that's kind of the, that was kind of the hope of whatever GM got hired, right?
Right.
I mean, that, yeah. That's, I mean, you, whoever it was, you're like, well, hopefully he can fix this situation they're in because they don't have any good players, they don't have any cap room, and they don't have any draft capital. But
other than that,
I don't know that Nick Caserio is any more equipped to do it than anyone else. It's not like, let's face it, it's not like he left the Patriots with some, you know, really, really talented roster that's in great cap space. Then that's not really the case. But again, who knows how much of that he even had control over. In an organization where one guy literally controlled everything, Nick Caserio was in the room with him, sure. I don't know what he did. I don't know what his decision-making was. And unless he was the guy who decided to bring Tom Brady in, which, hint, he wasn't.
Right.
I'm not giving him all kinds of credit for what he did with the Patriots because I said this the all week. I'm saying this. All the credit for the Patriots dynasty goes to two guys. Everybody else was a bit player. Everyone else.
And it's not like they've drafted that well. So if he's been in charge of that, then not so much. Now, Belichick being the shadow over everything, yeah, maybe the guy was the one standing up saying, hey, we should draft this guy. We should draft this guy. And maybe in his interview, he showed him the notes. Yeah, we could have taken this guy, this guy, and this guy. And it looked good. But I don't know. And you don't know. And I think, he might, like I said, he might turn out to be really good. And we'll find out over the next couple of weeks because we've gone over many times the things that they're going to need to do to this roster. And let's see if he's willing to do it. And if you can start with that, you got to start with cutting some of these donkeys and clearing some cap space. And if you're going to bring J.J. Watt back, which, you know, if you can get a pick for him, I would do it just for his sake.
Yeah.
But if you're planning on bringing him back, you're going to have to restructure that deal. I think if you're going to bring Brandon Cooks back, you may want to restructure his deal.
But if you're J.J. Watt, would you have any interest in restructuring the last year of your deal?
I think he's got two more years, actually.
No, I think this is the last year.
Well, I'll have to double check that.
If they guarantee the money.
Well, that's the thing. There's no guaranteed money for him now. So
I dare you to cut me. Like, if I'm J.J. Watt, I'm not giving in at all to the Texans. I'm not saying, yeah, I'll take less money to stay here. Like, why? It's not like you're a title contender. The Texans have no leverage with J.J. Watt. If I'm him, I'm saying, okay, you don't want me here? Fine. Cut me. Trade me. Whatever you want to do. Go ahead. But I'm not taking like less money to stay here. No, thanks.
I'm not saying less money. I'm saying you give him more guaranteed money and you spread it out. And that way you can...
And lock him in for longer?
Yeah, for at least another year.
If you're J.J., are you interested in that?
I don't know. Right now, I'm not, but... You're asking me what to think for J.J. Watt. I don't know if J.J. wants to stay here. And if they go to him and say, listen, we can bring in some free agents that are going to make us better next year. We just need to restructure your deal. He may want to do that.
Yeah.
But he also may want to say, you know what, guys, I've done my time here. And, you know, trade me to the Bears so I can be with my wife. Which, PSA, J.J., don't do that. I mean, the long-distance relationship thing, probably better for everybody.
Yeah.
Just a suggestion. So, and Javier says the Caserio hire was more disappointing in the fact that Easterby's not only staying, but in the fact that he had a say in who would GM be when GM would be when McNair said he wouldn't. Yeah, well, I don't know that any of us believed that when he said that. So, I Cal needs to work on his lying because he'll say one thing and then do the exact opposite. Yeah, the key. Give you guys a little advice here. The key to a good lie, it's like a good bluff in poker. You got to tell a believable story. Did anybody really believe when he said Jack Easterby would have nothing to do with the hire? Did anybody buy that? That's like shoving all in with Deuce 7. It's like, no, we're calling. Sorry. So you gotta tell a story that makes more sense than that if you're going to tell a lie. And obviously he had something to do with it. Or his agent had something. You're letting an agent run the team now? Is that what's going on? I mean, honestly, listen, Texans fan, I know you love your dog. I do. And I want to give you hope. And you know, I always try to find positives in as much as I can. And the only positive I can find is, well, maybe this guy's okay. Maybe he turns out to be a really smart GM. Maybe there's a lot more to what he was doing in New England than it looks like. But, man, that's a lot of maybes. And I've been saying all along, you can fix this roster if you get the right guy. Do I trust Cal McNair to get the right guy? Not really. Did I trust Jesus Easterby to get the right guy? Absolutely not. So if Easterby is telling me this is the guy, then I'm automatically going to think it's a bad hire. And I'll tell you why. DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm sorry, I just can't get away from that. And maybe that's just me. So.
No, it's not just you.
And maybe you should watch the Doug Peterson interview to come up with better lies. Yeah, Dougie P's pretty good at it. And what if Jack is just Cal's little puppet? That could be the case. Because guess what? We don't really know. We don't really know what's going on over there. And it sucks because back before Bob McNair died, I had a pretty good idea who was doing what.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know a lot of people didn't like Bob McNair. Bob was a better owner than he ever got credit for. He just never won. He tried to do things the right way. He just hired the wrong people. And I don't know what the hell Cal's doing. I don't know who the hell Cal is. So, please, somebody give me some positives. I'm begging you.
Aaron?
You got anything?
I mean, to find the tiniest sliver of silver linings, maybe now that the Patriots are looking like complete dog crap going forward. I mean, aside from if the Jets weren't in the AFC East, they'd be the worst team, especially going forward.
Oh, yeah.
Like, swap them out for any other team in that region. Swap the Jets out. The Patriots are going to be the worst team, and they look like the worst team going forward for the next year or two. Maybe he's leaving that with a bad taste in his mouth going, okay, I know what not to do now.
Well, I will say this.
Maybe I know not to depend on two guys, a coach and a quarterback. Maybe I know I have to build something and I need value around.
This is, and it's easy to kind of kick the Patriots while they're down, but I think we should also, you know, at least say, well, when's the last time they missed the playoffs? You know, this is the first time since 2008 and like the second time since 2000. So it's not like all of a sudden the sky is falling. Like this is the end of the
right.
I mean,
but I also kind of object to, well, he was part of all these Super Bowls. How much?
We don't know.
And we've seen everybody that leaves there that was part of all these Super Bowls. That was the whole Jeff Fisher argument when they hired Jeff Fisher. He was part of the Bears and they won the Super Bowl. And he would say, oh, I know how to win a Super Bowl. Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka, that's the guys that kind of won that there.
Boy, it's wild to look at this. The Patriots, who finished 7-9 this year, since the year 2000, the worst record the Patriots have had, 9-7 before this year.
Yeah, and that was
That was 2002. They finished second in the AFC East at 9-7.
You know what else happened in 2002? The Texans came into the league.
Right. Oh, that means this is the first losing season they've had since the Texans were invented. So I hate to like throw dirt on the Patriots like they've just it's a mess all of a sudden. I mean, they went 7-9 with a really, really bad roster and bad quarterback play.
And a lot of guys who opted out before the season.
Exactly. And key guys who opted out before the season. So I'm not going to throw dirt on them just yet. But so I'm not trying to poo-poo what Caserio was a part of. I just don't know to what extent he was a part of it. I don't know what his role was.
Patriots at least have a first and second round pick.
That's true.
Even though we went through the numbers, they haven't had picks worth crap lately. But they at least have something that, had he stayed there, they could try to build with.
I just thought of a positive. Look at me. I'm in such a good mood. I found a positive, AJ. This guy must be really good because you remember a couple years ago when the Texans were trying to get him, they didn't want to let him go, and they filed tampering charges.
Yeah.
So the Patriots really liked him. How hard do they try to keep these other guys? Did they complain about Matt Patricia getting hired?
No.
Brian Flores?
No.
Did they complain when Bill O'Brien went to Penn State?
No.
Nobody filed tampering charges. Nobody tried to stop anything. Here's your positive.
He's the key guy.
This is the guy.
He's the key to it all. God, the Patriots, since 2010, how many times do you think the Patriots didn't appear in the AFC Championship?
Since 2010?
Yep.
I think I can remember one. But
well, last year was one. They lost to the Titans in the wild card round.
Yeah. There was probably one other one.
It was in 2010.
Okay.
So that means between 2011 and 2018, they were in the AFC Championship game every single year. That's an incredible feat, man.
Okay. So, see, now you got me pumped about
this. Look at you. Nick Caserio did that.
Nick Caserio is the man.
He did that.
So, yeah, see, there we go. And if you guys have other positives, let's try to be positive today. Because, I mean, all I could come up with was dog vomit. And I don't think people consider that positive.
Kind of positive, though.
It's apt. I don't know if it's positive.
What's Joseph's positive?
Yeah, let's get Joseph's positive. What's up, Joseph?
Hey, guys.
Hey, sports.
Hey, guys.
Man.
Sports and stuff.
What's up?
Hey, so my one positive for the hiring of Nick Caserio, I know you guys have mentioned it, of all the Patriots bad guys that have left that organization, they've all been coaches. I don't know if you guys know any personnel that's left that's done bad in organization. Can you name any? Or
I mean, who's left the Patriots organization as far as like GMs?
I'd have to go back and look. Now, they've had a couple guys that he sort of brought in and they went elsewhere, and you know, but they were guys who'd been in the league.
Yeah.
I'd have to go take a look, because I know, well, they had the one guy who left for Kansas City.
That's true. Yeah.
Pioli. Yeah, I don't know. I have to study that a little closer. I just know that the coaching tree hasn't worked very well.
Titans GM, John Robinson was a Patriots guy.
Okay.
Thomas Dimitroff was a Patriots guy. He went to a Super Bowl.
Okay. So, all right. Now you're finding me some positives.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. I got to tell you guys about TGS Insurance. Listen, if you own your home and you'd like to save yourself some money, TGS is a great way to do it, because you're going to be paying for your homeowner's insurance anyway. Why pay more? I checked in with them. I didn't know what I was paying for my homeowner's insurance, to be honest. I checked in with them. I texted the word money to 232323. They replied back. They said, "What's your address?" They'd already shopped my address. They've shopped every address in the greater Houston area. They sent me a text back within 15 seconds with a firm, full insurance quote. Great coverage. And I saved over $1,000 a year. The average customer saving $900 a year. There's a guy here in our office who saved $2,600 a year by switching over to TGS. What are you waiting for? They're going to take care of the hassle, the back end, get you refunded on your old policy, and start you saving money right away. And it's so simple. Takes 15 seconds. All you got to do is send a text. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with my good friends over at TGS Insurance.
Bumper, green room chock full of all my comforts. Hotel room like heaven on earth. Got angels in my bed with some all-white covers. Ace Pro Nemo.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Long ago, just like the Hershey, tired of getting again. We are so far.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. A friend of mine, Lions fan, said, did you mention Bob Quinn, who was swept out with Matt Patricia? Okay, so that's a negative. Here's the other negative I thought of on the break. Like, those are three pretty good names when you say Pioli and Dimitroff. And
although Dimitroff's on his ass right now.
Yeah, too. He's gone too. But they had some success.
Yeah.
I'll take the success that he had if Caserio does that. You know, get to a Super Bowl and lose. I'll take that right now.
Yeah.
But here's the other negative. Maybe those guys have been successful because they were good and they kind of covered up for Caserio?
Yeah, honestly, I have got none of us have any idea. And Lamont asked, why are we upset about it? Is it because of a Pats guy or because Nick Caserio's no good or because it's an Easterby hire? And the third thing, that's the thing that's the most concerning to me. I don't know if Nick Caserio's a good GM. He's never been a GM, first of all.
Right.
So I don't think anybody knows what kind of a GM he'll make. I mean, would I rather have had someone from a different organization than the Patriots? Because I just feel like it's tired and the Texans have failed with it already. Yes, but it's not the worst thing in the world to me. But I do know that this is a Jack Easterby hiring. It's got his slimy fingerprints all over it. To me, that's the biggest issue with the whole thing. I wanted someone who I felt like was going to take power away from Jack Easterby. This feels like Jack Easterby handpicked the guy.
What if Caserio signs on the dotted line, gets to town, and pulls the ultimate double cross and goes to Cal's office and goes, I know this guy has stabbed everybody in the back, and I've known him for years. I want him out.
I wouldn't be mad.
That would gain so many extra fans.
Well, I immediately think that would send a pretty good message. I'd be Team Caserio.
He says, look, I wanted this job, but I knew I had to go through him. And he's double-crossed every single person that's been around him since he started in this league. He's gone, or I leave.
What would his agent say about that, though, Aaron? They all share the same
agent.
That's
the problem.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to reserve judgment. Well, I'm not going to reserve judgment. I hate that they went this direction for a lot of reasons, and we've spent 49 minutes explaining it, so I don't want to rehash all that. But, I mean, there's a chance it works. I don't have any hope that it will. That's the problem. I want to see who he hires as a head coach. If he does something unique, like bring in a Joe Brady, I'll give him a shot.
Yeah.
But if he just goes Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia or fill in the blank failed Patriot clown, then I'm not giving him any. And we'll see what he does too with this roster, because we've talked about it. We've gone through the numbers several times. Here's what you can do to clear some cap space. Well, let's see what he does. Let's see what he comes up with. It might work out, but I have very little hope that it will, because, you know, this again feels like an Easterby move. And what have we seen out of Jack Easterby? He's done one good thing: killed Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, and you can't trust him.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know how much I buy these stories, and I've said that before too. That I think there's a lot that's being leaked from the O'Brien camp to try to make him look bad. So I don't know that I buy all that stuff, but I think there's enough there that I wouldn't trust the guy.
Yeah.
So Echo Adams said, if you believe John McClain, he said McDaniels will not be considered. Yeah, well,
I've heard that too. I've heard that.
I also heard that Caserio wasn't really going to be considered either, and apparently they had it made up all along. So, yeah, I have a feeling that they already have in mind who they want to hire as a head coach. And you know what? God bless Eric Bieniemy. I hope he gets L.A. or someplace where he can go and win right away. And I still think Jacksonville is the prize in all this. I hope he doesn't go to the Jets. The Jets will they're a mess.
You think Jacksonville's a prize more than the Chargers?
Yeah, I do.
Man, that's tough.
You're going to have Trevor Lawrence, who I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is going to be great. I don't know that I love him as much as you do. I think he's going to be great.
We're going to get into a conversation about Trevor Lawrence today, because I'm sick of the internet slandering Trevor Lawrence's good name. It's ridiculous.
But I'll tell you this. I think his floor is Herbert's floor or Herbert's ceiling. I think he can be every bit as good as Herbert was this year.
Okay.
And long term, I think he'll be much better, but I think that's his floor. And I want that. And I want the extra draft picks. And I want that young roster, because there's some players there that I really like. I've talked about Jags all year. They got a couple of guys on defense that are players you can build around. They got a good offensive line. They found a running back out of nowhere this year. So you go draft me.
And they've got all the cap room in the world.
They can sign whoever they want, and there's going to be guys who, if you hire the right coach, want to come play there.
And you don't have to play the Chiefs twice a year.
No. All you have True. To do, you get the Texans twice a year. Woo. And the Titans at some point when Derrick Henry dies, guess what? Not going to be so good. So I like that job the best. Plus, I like the chance to go to London like 3 years from now when the Rona's gone. But I think, you know, if Urban Meyer gets that job, I don't know what I think of that. Although I think Urban Meyer's the kind of guy who could be a good NFL coach because he delegates so much.
Yeah,
like he'll go get some really good player, really good assistants. But yeah, Trevor Lawrence. We'll do at 5 o'clock. I want to get into Trevor Lawrence because I know where you're going to go with this. And believe it or not, I actually agree with you.
Okay,
but no, I'd rather have that job, and as a GM. Now I was listening to Charlie a little bit today while I was sitting in the parking lot waiting on my test, and he's like, "Well, you got two number one picks and Trevor Lawrence." Like, no, well, you have Trevor Lawrence and another number one pick.
Yeah,
I mean, Trevor Lawrence is one of the picks.
He's one of them.
Yeah. So,
but they've got 2 seconds. Also,
they got 2 seconds, and
the Jags will pick 4 times before the Texans pick. Actually, 5 times before the
Texans
pick.
I think 5 times, yeah.
And one of those picks will be Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
They're in good shape. Good.
And the hope is, I still think the other move that they need to make is, well, they've got to shore up cornerback. They haven't, you know, since they traded Jalen Ramsey.
I think there's problems on the offensive line still.
I think they could use another offensive lineman. I'd like to see that other first round pick as a stud receiver, though. I mean, DJ Chark is okay. And he had a really good first half of the season until people figured out how to guard him. But, boy, if they could add a stud receiver to go with Trevor Lawrence, that's a good start. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in on a What Are the Odds Wednesday, and you know what's up, said Fred, do you want the Jacksonville owner running the show? Also a magnificent mustache. But on Pakistani guys, you can have that mustache. White guys can't do it.
That is concerning that he says, I've got control of the roster. That does make it less appealing. That's why I still think the Chargers is the best GM job.
Maybe. Although it's not like the Spanos family is anything to write home about.
No, but they don't feel like they need to have control over the roster.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good ownership.
They may not say it, but they've also been... I'm not crazy about that group either. But... I wish, I mean, Shad Khan has kind of done, I mean, he's hired people and given them power and then gotten out of the way. In fact, he's been really patient, too patient. Gus Bradley was too patient with. You might argue that with my doppelganger, he might have been too patient. Tom Coughlin, he let hang around a year too long. So, I don't know. I feel like maybe he could say all that all he wants. I don't know how involved he really gets. But nobody knows unless you're in those. I'm telling you, it was an interesting, eye-opening thing to be around the Texans' offices with Bob McNair and see how much he actually got involved with stuff. Not like telling him, oh, get rid of this guy or that kind of thing. But, I mean, he wanted to know every single thing that was going on. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.